This is an overview of the basic teaching philosophy used in the Robert Pace piano approach. You'll be listening to an edited excerpt from a presentation given by Dr. Pace, September 1982, in Chicago.
Down to what I think are some of the key points that we have to address ourselves to here in the next 3 days. And this has to do with, let's say, some of our philosophy, some of the bits of our philosophy about teaching. First of all, I want to make some basic premises here. The more information a student has, the better chance they have of learning, period. I'm going to start with that. And if you want to fill in there, the more information teachers have, the better chance they have of learning. Or if you want to fill in, the more information consultants have, I don't care what you put in there, it's the same. We're all students. The better chance we have of learning. Now, second point, lessons are important, but the other 6 days are also. I don't care how well you teach at the lesson, but if the other 6 days are chaotic, the other 6 days lack application, the other 6 days lack or have bad application, wrong notes, wrong fingering, you're back perhaps worse off than you were when you gave the good lesson. The third point is not so much finding 30 minutes to practice, but what do you do with it? I don't think it's so much a matter of that people have the time. People have the time for anything they want. And the kids. Now, kids go through stages. Kids go through stages where, you know, you could give them a $100 bill and they'd gripe at you. I mean, maybe none of you have run into that. But I'm not talking. In other words, what I'm saying is that there are students that are going to find a million reasons why they don't have any time to practice. That's nonsense. They've got the time if their priorities are such. But it's not so much finding the time, it's when I get them there. And so let me put it the other way. If they are using the 30 minutes right, they're probably going to find the 30 minutes. Now, good students, in effect, teach themselves. And that's the reason they're a good student. Or let's put it another way, a poor student doesn't know how to teach himself, herself, or himself. What we're involved in here, and this is part of our new look at this program, is the whole situation in learning today, the whole situation in education. I can't urge you enough, and you people here, we're going to spend some time this afternoon and tomorrow, not so much on going through books, but on the philosophy behind it and the reason why you, whether you are teaching it or not, must be part of it. This now is a philosophy. This is an approach that is different and it is unique, and other people are going to copy it. I know that. But we're going to do this. We're going to identify this as a philosophy, as an overall way of teaching that is more than methods. It's more than materials. It's when you put it all together that it becomes a philosophy. Now, what we need to do then, we've got to talk in these 3 days, what to teach and how to organize. Most people may have some ideas on what to teach, but they fall down on organizing it. And you can have good materials, but if it doesn't go step one, two, three, it's not going to function. Now, we're going to have a unanimity here in terms of some basic goals and objectives we all subscribe to. But every one of you have infinite possibilities for diversity and your own individual application. Because for every musical question, there are millions of musical answers. For every way you play a piece, there are millions of other ways it can be played. I have never yet, and you have never yet, played one piece twice the same way. No way. So that within this framework, there is the ultimate in diversity and individual application. What we need to do then is to take these things that is the basic comprehensive musicianship. The book simply organizes it for you to ensure minimums. You're going to get minimums in harmony, minimums in creative stuff, minimums in sight reading, minimums of repertoire. These are basic minimums for everybody. Now, every student can do his or her thing with this. Every student can do it differently. And that's why you want to teach them, whenever possible, more than one at a time, so they can see individuality, they can see different things. No person can see the scope of something like several people put together when you begin to bring cross-references to it. Likewise, every teacher is free to help, and every teacher can do his or her thing. If you're only going to be concerned with the kids between 6 and 12 or 16, you have a very small market. If you look at the people from 3.5 to 80, you've got an unlimited market. So that's what we have to look at. Let's put it this way. We're involved in what we call lifelong learning from the very beginning right on up, so the people are constantly learning. We're going to show them how to go on their own. We are going to be involved in growth, and the only way you can help others grow is for you to grow yourself. You're going to be doing new things today, these 3 days, that you have not done before. And you're going to be introduced to some things here, I'll be very honest, that you're not going to do that well today or tomorrow or the next day. That's not the problem. The problem is you're putting this into some kind of a learning sequence for yourself and then for the others. No one has all the answers, but we can all try to do a better job. And what I'm saying is that it's not that we're looking for the right or wrong answer. Let's get away from true and false tests. So, I want to stress this thing of the good process, producing better products. I think we will produce better concert performers if we have good processes of learning. Now, fundamentals from the beginning as prerequisites, rather than delaying these till teenage or college. I've got an article here from the Piano Quarterly that shows that really things haven't changed that much at Juilliard in the last 30 years. Okay, this is Keyboard Studies at Juilliard. And he talked, this is by Arnon, who has taught there since 71. So this, what?
The latest.
This is the last
Winter.
One. Yeah. Last one. Now, he talks about the Keyboard Studies program, Juilliard. This is to provide keyboard majors. These are pianists, harpsichordists, and so forth, with skills which are needed in their professional lives. Obviously, he says, there's no time for these skills to be taught within the framework of a private lesson. Well, isn't that a heck of an admission right off the top? The curriculum covers the following things. Guess what they're teaching them at Juilliard? I taught this course there, by the way, 75 years ago. Same course. What are they teaching them? Sight reading, transposition, I'm quoting here, keyboard harmony, figured bass, you know, what's a 1/6, harmonizing melodies and improvisation. So, gee, this bright-eyed young concert star goes there to Juilliard to learn the fundamentals of how you transpose from the key of C to the key of B or D flat, whatever it is.
Oh, they only go up a half step in the first year.
That's right. A half step.
Yeah, I read that. I couldn't believe it.
People, this is incredible. Read
it. The second year they go up a
half
step.
It'll blow your mind. Yeah. So sight reading. He goes on this thing. One can hardly overestimate the importance of sight reading. Boy, that's a great statement, isn't it? Now, how did they get to Juilliard? They don't know how to sight read. They know how to play a piece over and over and over. Sight reading provides a shortcut to first-hand acquaintance with repertoire. Well, they should have been reading from the very beginning. Process people, not product. These kids are all product-oriented. Okay, so it goes on here. Many accomplished pianists as well as students waste a great deal of time and energy learning new pieces. I agree. I couldn't agree more. What we have to do then is to teach fundamentals, these things, an interrelated comprehensive musicianship program. We have somehow to get people aware of the need of that. The teachers out here that can't do it do not feel the need, because if they did begin to do that, a lot of them would feel very insecure. And so the way to avoid that is don't touch it. Let them go to college. Be part of this system. Don't buck the system. Now, what we're talking about then is an interrelated program of fundamentals, theory, sight reading, improvisation, ear training, repertoire, and technique, and no rote memory. You see, people, whenever you get involved in change, you hit a nerve end. And that's when it is easier to try to scuttle it, to try to disparage the program, instead of move ahead in a positive way. If I can say anything here today, and if you're going to see, I hope some results of that, I really believe we have to educate for growth. I didn't say change. Toffler says change, I say growth. You can change and deteriorate. I feel it should be a positive movement, not just a downward motion. We're going to teach all periods and all types of literature. We're going to teach, and I mean this, from we're going to teach them Baroque, Classic, Romantic, Contemporary, Quartal, 12-tone, Bichordal, Diatonic, Chromatic, all of these. We're going to have an overabundance of materials. And that is that there's no one here today that can exhaust the, let's take level one or level two, the stuff you're going to have. If you don't believe that, stick around till Sunday, we'll get you into level three. There should be more. What I'm saying is this, that if I give a test to somebody, I'm going to give you a test that is so designed that you cannot possibly exhaust all of the things in that in the amount of time I've given you. That's part of testing, is to see what you can do within a given time frame. Likewise with these kids. These kids will have more choices, more kinds of things. And when we don't worry about it right now, because most of you have not gone through the new materials with me, and you haven't really gotten into this thing called what I'm going to call creative reading, which is kind of creative reading, and the new technique is part of this new thing we're talking about. We'll be talking about that in just a few minutes. Now, I want to stress, above all, individuality. I want to stress the individuality of each child. One of the things that is really getting these students in my interpretation class is that we are purposely trying to bring in different interpretations instead of you're coming in and playing it my way. In other words, when you come in, we are having, next week we're doing the Mozart Coronation Concerto, and we're going to have three or four people performing that. Now, they will each of them give an interpretation. Otherwise, people, it's an imitation. In other words, I'm going to change the name of my course to Imitation in Piano Performance instead of Interpretation of Piano Literature. If it's interpreting, you're interpreting symbols. And how you interpret these has to do with you as a human being, how you respond in the affective domain, the subjective part of it. We'll be talking a lot about the affective and the cognitive in a few minutes. We're going to stress creative thinking. We're going to stress that music is a unique experience that brings all of these aspects together in a kind of counterpoint, the like of which no other activity really does. And that is, as these students learn, as I was doing with one of my students the other day, they had to play the right hand top part, bring it out a little bit, the middle part of the right hand, same hand they had to subdue. The left hand, which was on one, was an accent on one, was diametrically opposite what the right hand accent had to be. Then we had to put in pedal, but the pedal had to be after one, otherwise I caught the notes in the melody that would cause a blur. Now this kind of creative thinking, people, you're not going to, it's going to enhance the math, it's going to enhance science, but they're not doing this kind of thing in an ongoing situation because those things are not time arts. You do not have to do this. These are multiple discriminations that have to happen simultaneously to go along, and you have to put things in a hierarchy. Now, what I'm saying is that the arts have a unique responsibility in human development, but we are extracurricular because we've got a bunch of people out here that we've created our own Frankensteins. We've created them. And we continue to create them because we play along with the system. Now, I can just tell you that I'm not interested in playing along with the system. You can make your choice. I think that's the reason some of you are here, that you're not interested in that either. That there's a better way.